Hi, I'm Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We often talk about religion on Fresh Air, not to convert anyone, but to have an ongoing conversation about how different religious traditions address the most fundamental questions about life, death, joy, and suffering. On these CDs, you'll hear highlights of interviews with people for whom faith is a central part of life, and people who've devoted their lives to studying sacred texts. But you'll also hear from others who've left their faith, who don't believe in God, and who fear religion often seems to do more harm than good. Karen Armstrong has become famous for her books about the religions of the world, including A History of God. But before she became a scholar of religion, she was a nun. She entered the convent in 1962 as an idealistic 17-year-old, expecting to lead a life of real meaning and to find a radical freedom within the convent. The religious life also offered a welcome escape from teenage social demands. But life in the convent wasn't what she expected. Her community was founded in the 19th century, and customs that made sense then struck her now as cultural relics of the Victorian age, lacking real spiritual value. And she chafed against the emphasis on obedience. In 1969, 7 years after entering the convent, she suffered a breakdown, feeling she had failed to find God. This interview with her was recorded in 2004, after the publication of her memoir, The Spiral Staircase, about leaving the convent and re-entering the world. When you were in the convent, you started studying at Oxford University, where you were taught to think critically and challenge all assumptions, and then you'd have to go home to the convent where you were taught to be obedient and never challenge. And it's impossible to reconcile those two worlds, isn't it?
Yes, and I was feeling myself continually in that first year at Oxford split apart, because part of me was absolutely reveling and luxuriating in the freedom to read books and read whatever I wanted, knowing this was my job. It was just intoxicating to me. I loved it. And yet, on the other hand, there was this deadly weight of disapproval if you sort of wanted to try out your newly honed critical skills on the nuns at home, because we were supposed still to be obedient. And I wanted to stay. There was no sense that I was yearning to escape. I was terrified of leaving, quite terrified. And to leave seemed, even to think of leaving was like it was like breaching a taboo. It was so monumental and awful a step. But eventually, at the end of that year, I had a breakdown. It was only a mild breakdown, but it became quite clear to all of us, my superiors and myself, that I couldn't continue.
What were the symptoms of the breakdown?
Well, I was constantly crying. I cried throughout my whole religious life like a broken water spout, I have to say. I just kept bursting into tears. We were told that if we weren't finding life impossibly difficult, we weren't trying hard enough. So they must have been delighted with me, because I never stopped crying. And I'm not a crier, really, these days. But I think it was a great strain. And we were all also convulsed with giggles, too. I mean, one of us would start giggling at something utterly unremarkable, and then the whole lot of us, it would go like almost a disease, a contagion. We were on the brink of real strain, I think. In that last year, too, I had fainting attacks and also terrible nosebleeds and vomiting. And then finally, I just collapsed. I was supposed to be serving in the dining hall, and I just passed out. And I cried and cried and cried and said, kept on saying, I can't do it. I can't do this.
Well, some of the problems, the physical problems that you described, the fainting spells, the vomiting, some of this was like symptoms of what was later diagnosed as epilepsy. But at the time,
yes,
no one knew that that's what it was. And so you were diagnosed with hysteria. It was considered to be a nervous reaction to your life.
Yes.
Do you think, had you known that the problem was epilepsy, that you might have stayed in the convent?
No, I wouldn't have stayed, because there was another thing that was eating away at me corrosively throughout my religious life, was that I was unable to pray. And that is obviously a drawback for a nun. I I can now concentrate on my work for hours at a time without even noticing the time passing. But as soon as I would go into the convent chapel to begin my meditation every morning, my mind would just go everywhere. And nobody else seemed to have these difficulties. I was waiting to encounter God, and I never did. And I also harboured secret doubts about, you know, was there a God even? Who could tell that Jesus had been God and man at the same time? And a nun who had these kind of doubts could not be going to be a good nun. So there was this, despite the epilepsy was an added problem, it became a monumental problem once I'd left the convent. But I don't think that I would have stayed.
You came back into the world in 1969 at the height of the counterculture. And, you know, the counterculture was in part about losing inhibitions. It was about sexual freedom. You'd been raised in what you describe as absolute physical restraint. What were some of the most baffling new things going on in the world when you got out of the convent in 1969?
Well, there I was in my Oxford college, surrounded by students who were demonstrating their rage and protest with something called the establishment or the system. And carry placards and protesting. I mean, I had been schooled in an institution where young people were subservient and almost cravenly subservient. These young people were confident. They were clearly sexually involved. And in my days, before the contraceptive pill, sexual intercourse was a tremendously dangerous and risky enterprise, not to mention a major mortal sin. And this didn't seem to worry these young people at all. And they all wore these kind of raggedy clothes or skirts right up to their thighs. And it was a sort of carnival. And I had no notion what was going on. I remember going to my first party and hearing a song and saying, trying to show an interest, and say, who are these people? And everybody gaped at me and said, well, they're the Beatles, of course. And I'd never knowingly heard one of their records. And I thought they were named after those little insects that's crawled around. And I had that, all that had to be explained. So while all this carnival of joyous 60s exuberance was going on, I was looking on bewildered and also sad because I just felt so appallingly sad about having left the convent and having to relinquish that old dream and feeling a terrible sense of failure.
Well, you must have felt so bad, so lonely, not fitting either into the world of the convent or into the world outside it.
Indeed, and I felt that I would never fit into the world. I didn't see how I could. And then I started having these strange attacks, which subsequently proved to be epileptic, where I'd be overcome with sheer dread or an absolute sense of paralyzing terror, almost a hallucinatory terror. So you could almost glimpse somebody standing beside me, or I'd set off to go somewhere and find that I'd myself ending up somewhere in a completely different place. And it seemed to me that I had schooled myself to reject the world, and now I couldn't get back into it. That the world and I were utterly incompatible, and that my mind was splintering under the strain, and I really feared for my sanity, because this epilepsy wasn't diagnosed for another 5 or 6 years.
The doctor who did diagnose your epilepsy told you that a lot of people who become religious have this form of epilepsy. It's temporal lobe epilepsy.
Yes.
Have you looked into that to see what the connection is?
Yes. I think epilepsy of the temporal lobe it's the seat, I believe, of the memory and many of the emotions, and so you are living constantly on the brink of things. Dostoevsky suffered from it, and he writes about it in his book called The Idiot. When you're in convulsion, your mind can sort of explode, and it looks as though you're seeing God. And I have experienced that once or twice, but I knew this was only, by that time the epilepsy had been diagnosed, and I knew this was only a neurological thunderstorm. And the sense of evil and fear and terror I had could easily...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?